Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes.
Hello and welcome to Fred Film Radio. I'm Imani Mohammed reporting from the 67th Cannes International Film Festival, and I'm joined today by Olivier Assayas, the writer-director of Sils Maria, which is here in main competition. First of all, I'd like to ask you, what was the inspiration for the film?
The starting point of the film was the shared desire to work with Juliette Binoche. We had known each other for ages, very long time actually. We had started together because she was the star of a movie called Rendezvous by André Téchiné, and I was the co-writer of that movie, and she was a very young actress. This movie gave her recognition, for the first time, major recognition, and it kind of put me on the map as, as a writer. It kind of led, it kind of helped me to get my first feature going. So it was a very important moment for both of us, and we could have had, how do you say, intertwined careers. We happened to have, in the end, we had parallel careers. we kept in touch. We've been friends ever since, and we with always a sense of something important in common. We were not exactly sure what, but we kind of had to do with our story, and we ended up making a movie together in 2007 called The Summer Hours. But it was more of an ensemble piece. I mean, she was part of the family. So it was great because we enjoyed so much working together. But it was also frustrating because we felt that we had not gone all the way. So Juliette was really the first one to verbalize it. I mean, she one day she called me and she said, okay, are we doing this movie together or not? I mean, there's a what basically she was meaning was there's a missing film in our filmography. Why not finally do it? After that, it will be too late. So it's that's pretty much what inspired the film. Like, except because of this shared history, I was not going to write like a part for Juliette. I thought that whatever connected us was interesting enough in its own right. So instead of writing a piece for Juliette, the actress, I decided to write a movie based on Juliette, the person.
You, of course, worked with Juliette before, and I was wondering, what did she bring to the part? Did she make any suggestions at all?
She did not need to make any suggestion, really. Because she appropriated the part. I mean, I don't rehearse. I never rehearse. So it's what I'm interested in is how an actress would spontaneously approach a given scene, a given situation. So I think that Juliette used her experience, used her knowledge, used her instinct every single day of our shoot, in every single shot, to reinvent and recreate the person, the character of Maria. I mean, Maria is this kind of, just two steps aside of her that allow her to have a perspective and to have some humor also when looking at herself. So I think that Juliette brought so much of her own, and I think Juliette helps, and the audience helps also, because I work using the past of Juliette also, because I know that I can trust the audience to fill in the blanks. I mean, I don't need to discuss the other parts Juliette was in, because every single person in the audience has a memory of Juliette in this or that part.
It's a very dialogue-driven movie, there's some really wonderful exchanges between Maria and her assistant Val. Was there any room for improvisation at all, or was it? I mean, you spoke there a little bit about Juliette bringing some stuff to the part as well, but sure. I'm just wondering how tightly scripted those parts were.
That's an interesting question, because in a certain way, this feels more improvised than centered movies I've made, but ultimately it's much more scripted. I mean, they strayed very much less from the actual dialogue than in my previous movies. In Summer Hours, there's like improvisation, really. The problem with improvisation is that you do 10 takes that are just like total bullshit, and all of a sudden you have one moment when, all of a sudden there's something that kind of rings true and you would never have written. So there can be something magical about stuff you get from improvisation. But it's in this case, because, a lot of those dialogue scenes, they are supposed to be theater So theater is, even if you know, it's not emphatic, it's not verbose, at least I hope, but it's fairly sharp, but still it has to be extremely precise, because it has very specific beats. So they would interpret those lines and change the way to make them echo, but ultimately they had to pretty much stick to the text, because otherwise it would have been difficult to fall on their 2 feet.
In the case of the character Joanne Ellis, who's the Hollywood starlet in the movie, how did you cast Chloe Grace Moretz, and what did you think she could bring to the character?
It was not an easy part to cast, because you needed someone who would be believable in that part, and who simultaneously had the distance to have some humor about it, you know, just to joke about it and not be scared of it. Chloe was one of the names that came to me, and then we Skyped. I liked her so much. I was scared she would be too young, right? I mean, you know, I knew her from Hugo Cabret. I mean, so I said, you know, what you know, Chloe Moretz? You mean the girl in the etc. She's a kid. I mean, and then no, she's not. You know, don't worry, she's not good. So I Skyped with her. I liked her so much. She's just so smart and witty and all. I hung up the phone and I like Googled her, and I said, and I realized, oh my God. She's like 16 years old. You know, she's. I mean, the girl I just had this conversation with is 16 years old. It kind of scared me, and I said, okay, I have to meet her. I can't just say okay, and we're going to work together based on this conversation, because I just need to make sure that, I don't know. I mean, she looks like possible for that part, and so I went to Toronto, and we had a meeting, and I just loved her.
Of course, some of your movies are very personal to you. Is this one very personal to you too?
Yes. It is. Yes, it's personal. You know, you deal with time, you deal with what your relationship is, your younger self, you deal with how the world is changing. I mean, you know, it has to be pretty close to the bone.
I read that you used to be a film critic.
In another lifetime.
Well, I mean, I'm just curious too, because obviously within the film, Maria cares very much about what Val thinks of her as an actress, and obviously insecurity is a very natural kind of emotion. And so I was wondering, as a former critic, do you actually really care about what critics think of your film? Is it a big thing to you, or is it you just make the film that you want to make?
I make the films I want to make. I suppose that because I've been writing about movies, it's a world I'm familiar with, it's something I'm interested in. I'm interested in the writing. Film criticism is an art form I'm interested in a certain way, and I'm not scared of it. I can read bad reviews of my film. I just don't go to bed and turn off the light or something. You know, so, you know, it's facts of life. And also, I think I've been extremely privileged. I mean, you know, ultimately, press has been very good to me. But it's interesting, not in the sense of evaluation of your work. That's why I'm just not interested in film criticism where they put like 4 stars. A 5-star consumer guide type of stuff, that this is good for you, this is boring, whatever, you know, that I'm not so sensitive to, because that belongs to another system, another world. But a lot of film criticism basically discussing issues of what modern filmmaking is about with the director. I mean, in a sense that it's a dialogue. I mean, it's saying, you know, okay, what you have done is interesting because of this, but what you have done is not relevant for this and that reason, and this did not work for me because that stuff I'm interested in, because that's the only, it's usually the most interesting feedback you get. It's not like when you're discussing with the audience. I mean, you know, I'm extremely happy when the audience come to me and say, oh, you know, I was just so moved, you know, I was in tears or whatever. You know, it's important, but ultimately in terms of thinking about the art, the craft of filmmaking, it's with film writers you have some kind of dialogue. So yeah, that's stuff I'm interested in, of course.
What's it like to watch your movie with an audience? Because Chloe was saying that was the first time she'd seen the film with a big audience, and in Cannes as well, you know.
It's two different questions, really, because one question is watching your movie with an audience, another question is watching your movie with an audience in Cannes. and the experience of watching your movie with an audience in Cannes is just like, it's tough. I can tell you it's tough. When you show your film here, there, you have a few press screenings, you show it in some minor festival, this and so, you know, gradually you have a notion of how your movie is going to be received. In Cannes, like in 2 hours, it's over, it's done, it's finished. You know, you know how in every single possible country, every single festival programmer, every programmer on every single TV in the world is reacting to your film. So, you know, you will know like the next day, the final financial fate of your firm, the artistic fate of your firm, and possibly even the fate of your next project. You know, you feel like you're watching your own movie, like in slow motion. You're sensitive to every single breath, every single beat, every single cut. I mean, it's just like a, I don't know. It's like some kind of hyper awareness of what the film is, which is demented. It's something you know. You never watch a movie like that as an audience. I mean, you know, it's a very special.
Thank you very much, Olivier Assayas, for joining us here on Fred Film Radio, the writer-director of Sils Maria in main competition here at the 67th Cannes International Film Festival. I'm Imani Mohammed, and you're listening to Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.